ஓம் பிரம்மானந்தம் பரமசுகதம் கேவலம் ஞானமூர்த்திம் த்வந்த்வாதீதம் ககனசத்ருஷம் தத்வமஸ்யாதிலக்ஷ்யம் ஏகம் நித்யம் விமலமச்சலம் சர்வதீ சாட்சிபூதம் பாவாதீதம் த்ரிகுணரஹிதம் சத்குரும் தம் நமாமி. So we are seeing last time, the last class, the nature of the Atma, Self. See the verses until the 52nd verse, 49th onwards, 49th, 50th, 51st, 52nd. All these four verses talk about the Jivan Muktaha, the wise person who is free, liberated while living. And for such a person, what happens after the death? The Jivan Muktaha, the one who is free while living. Who is the one who is free while living? We call him a Jnani, Atma Jnani or Brahma Jnani. The wise person is free when he is alive. He is liberated when he is alive. Liberated from what? He is free from, he is free means, if the person has accomplished the end called moksha, the freedom. He is free means, what does it mean? He looks like any other ignorant person only. He has a body, he has hunger, he has appetite, he has thirst, he drinks water, he eats food, and he has to, you know, really attend to all his nature's cause. Everything is like any other human being, any other ordinary ignorant human being. He is free means how he is free. He is free from what? He is free from all the notions, wrong notions. He is free from all wrong assumptions. He is free from all wrong notions about the self, and he is free from all wrong assumptions about the universe. That freedom from wrong notions he entertained, that they were there in the mind, and all the wrong assumptions he had about the universe, that freedom, no, that has been brought about by what? His vision of the reality. Therefore, his ascertained, doubt-free vision of the swarupam or the truth of I, being, consciousness, which is absolutely free from the manifesting medium, the mind, the body, mind, sense complex. Thereby, that in the wake of that vision, he is free from all the wrong notions and wrong assumptions about the world. So the purely cognitive. So emotionally he is free from dependence for anything. He is not emotionally dependent on anything in the world or anybody in the world. Because for him the self is fullness, happiness. And not only for him the self is fullness and happiness, for him everything else in the world is nothing but happiness and fullness. There's nothing which is not within the realm of fullness and happiness. All that is there is only fullness for him, happiness for him. Because all that is there is only reality for him. That perspective change has happened. He's a Jivan Muktaha. Such a person, with that perspective, different perspective, being free from wrong notions and all wrong assumptions about the world, when he is alive, does he die? does death happen for him? Of course, the death is something which is inevitable for everyone. We know how even Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, there is a verse, Jatasya hi dhruvaha mrityuhu. Mrutasya janma dhruvam. Death is definite for everyone who is born. And the birth also is, rebirth also is definite for everyone who is dead. Which means death is definite. Again, death is nothing but the sukshma, the departure of sukshma shariram from the sthulam. And what is birth? Again, the sukshma assuming another sthulam and being born again is what? It's a rebirth. Which means death is nothing but a big change. Death is a change. The physical body gets disintegrated and becomes one with the elements. And the sukshma shariram travels. Sukshma means what? The mind, karmendriyani, 5 sense powers, 5 powers of organs of actions, 5 physiological functions, the antahkaranam as a whole, all these 19, and antahkaranam you can say together as one, or you can say 4 as ahankaraha, vrittihi, chittam, manaha, ahankaraha, chit buddhihi, ahankaraha, buddhihi, manaha, chittam. Now all these can differentiate the thoughts, or you can say totally as a antahkaranam. All these aspects, all of them together, just leave the physical body. And for what happens for an ignorant person, when an ignorant person dies, whether it's ignorant person's physical body or a wise person's physical body, any physical body, your animal's physical body, or even a plant's grass, the physical form, a tree or a plant, for every physical form has to fall apart, which means has to wither, and he has to become disintegrated, become one with elements. Everybody's physical body has to become disintegrated. The heat has to join the fire principle. The water in the body has to join the water. Space joins the space. Air joins the air. And the whole, the minerals, and all, they all become one with the soil, become one with the earth element. They become disintegrated. That is why the physical body of any living being, any physical form, when deteriorates, slowly it becomes disintegrated, become one with the elements. That's why death is called panchatva praptihi. Attainment of what? Again, the attainment of this previous status of being the elements is called panchatva praptihi. But what happens to sukshma? The sukshma is indestructible. Leave the consciousness now. Of course, consciousness is beginningless, endless, changeless, all-pervasive, unmoving, unchangeable, independent, and indestructible. That how and all will be understanding anyway. But what about the subtle body, the sukshma shariram, otherwise called astral body? The subtle body also is indestructible. Because no sthulam can destroy the sukshma. Nor can other sukshma destroy the other sukshma also. The subtle body is indestructible. It continues to be alive. So when the alive, even the body is killed, subtle body is not killed. Hanyamane sharire na hanyate dehi. The dehi is not destroyed when the body is destroyed. That is why it can do what? It can go and take a new dress. Like how you can remove the old clothes and throw away the old clothes, put on the new clothes. So also, vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya tatha navani anyani grinnati naraha. No? Vasamsi jirnani vihaya
यथा नरः अन्यानि नवानि संयाति तथा देही जीर्णानि शरीराणि विहाय अन्यानि नवा अपराणि नवानि गृह्णाति. द इंडवेलर ऑफ द फिजिकल बॉडी द सूक्ष्म टेक्स टू वॉट टेक्स अनदर चेंजेस द बॉडी लाइक हाउ यू चेंज योर क्लोथ्स. इट मीन्स सूक्ष्म cannot be destroyed, indestructible. And what is the nature of Sukshma? We had to remember here, so we will all be very happy to know this fact. We will continue to be there. The only thing is, others will not know that you are alive. And you cannot go and prove other person that you are alive. But still you are alive. The continuation of life is there. Life is continued. Life does not come to an end. Life in a given, like, you know, life in a given area is over, no? If you vacate the house and go to a new house, that doesn't mean that you are dying, you are dead, isn't it? You still continue to live. You remove this, leave this house and go to a new house. When you change your house, vacate from one house to another house, go to another house, you don't think you are not there anymore. Still you are alive, you are living your life. Only your house you have changed. The same way the Sukshma leaves the gross and takes to the new body. And is there any choice about it? No choice for an ignorant person. That is why rebirth is definite. No, I don't want to go get another body. I don't want to be born again, you know, because it's all struggle. If I have the body, it's a big struggle. I had to go through all pains and pleasures. I had to go through all pairs of opposites. I had to exhaust, no? I had to go through pains and pleasures, all pairs of opposites, as a result of whatever paradha I have in my life. Let me not go assume another body. Let me remain in subtle body itself. You know why? Because remaining in subtle form means like remaining in sleep. When you are asleep, you are not knowing you are not knowing the world is, and you are without any differences, without knowing the differences. I am and this, subject, object, differences are not there for you. And there is no subtle and gross difference, without any, with differencelessness, no, without any difference, without any divisions, without divisions, without differences, you are just yourself. And what is that? There in deep sleep state also, there is experience of non-duality. Every day in sleep, when you are fast asleep, there is experience of non-duality. What is experience of non-duality? Being there, you are there without differences and without divisions, without anything. The only problem is what? But you do not know you are. That's why it's called bliss. Knowing you are, if you can resolve the differences and divisions, you are free. That is fullness, happiness. In knowledge, what is there is happiness and fullness. In knowledge, you have, there are differences, there are divisions, but you resolve the divisions and differences in the vision of the truth. In the wake of the knowledge, in the very reality, you resolve the differences. So there is fullness. Whereas in deep sleep state, in deep sleep state also, there are no divisions and differences. But you do not know you are. Therefore what? There is bliss. Which means sorrowlessness, painlessness. That is why we all love sleep. Every day in sleep, we experience non-duality. We don't need to work very hard for experience of non-duality. experience of non-duality means remaining, no, the ignorance being totally there. You do not know you are, you do not know the world is. But happiness means total knowledge being manifest. You know you are, you know what you are, you know what the truth is, you know what this universe is. That is the difference between the happiness, which is swarupam, bliss, which is total ignorance. Okay? So, that is why in after death, you know, after death, one can have the experience of non-duality. So, you can remain how you are in sleep after death. But what is the problem? You will not know. Without the knowledge you are, you will be. Without the knowledge the universe is, you will be. Without any divisions and differences, therefore without any pains and pleasures, you can be like in sleep. Oh, that means, why can't I escape the next birth then? That is what we have to understand, your helplessness. Which means you cannot choose to remain like that. You cannot choose to remain in total ignorance. You can remain that after death, you can remain, but once the prarabdha, you have big storage of karmas. You mean what? Every jiva has, as long as ignorance is, so long will there be what? Karmas. So as ignorant person, the karma is waiting readily. The unaccumulated, timelessly collected, you have sanchitam. Sanchita karma is there. And part of sanchitam karma, which is ready for fructification, as prarabdha, they are also ready. And when exhausting the prarabdha, you will be accumulating again, choicelessly, the agami. Therefore, prarabdha is ready. The prarabdha will determine the rebirth of the ignorant person. No choice. If we all had a choice, we could have avoided the very present birth. We are here, why we were born, how we were born, just we were born, we are here. Is it clear? Therefore, this prarabdha, ready? So one has to be born again. That's why Krishna said, mrutasya janma dhruvam. This is the problem of an ignorant person. But what happens to the wise person? The wise person, prarabdha, when the prarabdha is exhausted, the prarabdha is over, the wise person, sukshma shariram, also leaves the physical body. Like any other ignorant persons, sukshma leaves the physical body. But the wise person, sukshma, will resolve means what? The mind, the thoughts will not arise. Which means the mind will resolve for good. There won't be desires, there won't be needs, because there is no sense of inadequacy centered on I, because there is no the I at all. What happened to I? I sense has already been resolved cognitively in its swarupam. Because the I-sense has already been resolved cognitively in its swarupam, what happened? There is no sense of inadequacy centered on I. Therefore, there are no needs. Therefore, there are no desires. Therefore, no other jealousy, hate, anger, etc. When the person, the mind, the revels in fullness, there can't be all the negative impurities, things, tendencies. So the mind is resolved for good. That is why we repeatedly say, mind can never be destroyed, but the mind can only be resolved. The resolution of the mind is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of the truth of the very I, the knower. So the mind is resolved, the mind is not there anymore, then the sense powers and powers of organs of actions and physiological functions, all these 15 subtle aspects, they cannot function independently without the mind. So they will also resolve along with the mind. This is called resolution of the sukshma shariram. When the sukshma resolves, then there is no more sukshma for it to assume another body to be born again. Therefore, there is no more rebirth for a wise person. And Mundaka Upanishad says very beautifully, when the fish swims in the water, you cannot trace the footprints of the fish. When the bird flies in the sky also, you cannot trace the footprints of the bird. Which means, like that, the wise person does not leave any, nothing can be traced of the wise person. Which means there is no rebirth for a wise person. This is called Videha Muktihi. After the death, the wise person's sukshma will resolve for good. Then he will not assuming another body. He will not be born again. This is called what now? Janma Nivrittihi. Mokshaha. This is called actual Videha Muktihi. See, you cannot have Videha Mukti. Freedom after death means having one sukshma resolved and not being born again is Videha Mukti, which is possible only if you are a Jeevan Muktaha. Only when you become free while living, you enjoy that, not enjoying, but enjoying that moksha, reveling in that fullness moksha in this very life is very important. Only then the freedom after death is possible. Some people have fancy ideas. Can I attain Videha Mukti? The whole life you are bound means after death you can never, attainment of knowledge is not possible after death. You need the sukshma shariram, you need sukshma shariram, you must be alive, only then, isn't it, thinking is possible, dwelling upon is possible, shravanam is possible, maranam is possible, nidhyasam is possible, introspection is possible, so ascertained vision also is possible. Isn't it, freeing yourself from ignorance is possible, moksha is possible. After death, one can attain moksha. After death, what to attain is, what happens is, the sukshma resolves. Therefore, if the sukshma is not there, assumption of another body is not possible, therefore there is no rebirth. That is called Videha Mukti, for which one must be a Jeevan Muktaha while living. One must be free when he is alive, while living. Is it clear? If you have any doubts, you can ask me afterwards. And now, what is Videha Muktihi? Who is a Videha Muktaha? Okay, what is freedom of, what it means, we are saying freedom after death. So we can see. It's something very so Videha Muktihi means you can always understand only after the exhaustion of the Prarabdha Karma Palam. Even a wise person who is free from all the karmas, he is free from Sanchitam Karma. And he is free from Agami Karma also. But still he has to, what now? Exhaust his He is alive as long as Parabdha Karma is there. But how? He exhausts his Parabdha Karma with objectivity, without being affected by the Parabdha Karma phalam, reveling in fullness, limitlessness, happiness, always. His life is life of joy and happiness. You know, even though externally, whatever he is going through, physical illness may be there, financial difficulties may be there, but still that he's, you know, he revels in fullness. Because one, the wise person is the one who is not dependent on anything external for his happiness, fullness. He always revels in fullness because fullness is his very nature, which is Swarupam. Therefore, externally he may be a pauper, he may be rich, he may be physically ill, he may be sick, he may have some problems in life like others. But those problems in life are poverty or riches or doesn't make him elated or depressed, because he is not dependent on anything external for his fullness. Because the one who knows fullness as his very nature, one who revels in fullness, he is irrespective of whatever is there ordained by Parabdha, still he revels in fullness. That is the difference. Got it? That is why we say, we work very hard to change situations to be happy. In fact, the Shastram says, you don't need to change anything external for you to be happy, because happiness is your very nature. All that you need is, you need not do anything, you need to know, you need to discover the fullness. Okay, therefore this wise person, he is free from Anchitam and Agami, but how does he become free from Anchitam and Agami? Because he has resolved his I sense in consciousness as Atma. For him, I does not mean the body, mind or sense complex. For him, I is not there. I is just the mithya. I is resolved in what? Consciousness, which is all-pervasive, innermost reality, which is the only satyam. Other than Atma, the consciousness, everything else is mithya for him. He resolved the mithya in satyam, and therefore he revels in fullness. Because what is there is only Paramatma for him. There is only vision of, he revels in the vision of non-duality, and thereby he revels in fullness. Such a person, very essence is resolved, means for him consciousness is free from doership and enjoyership, free from all the karmas. Therefore he is free from all the agami and hanchita, all the karmas. But part of the karma is lived with objectivity. So when the Parabdha also gets exhausted, what happens to him? That is what is said in these following verses. Okay, we'll see this now.
Upadi vilayad Vishnu.
Upadi vilayad Vishnu.
Nirvisesham vishen munihi.
Nirvisesham vishen munihi.
Jale jalam viyadvat.
Jale jalam viyadvyomni.
Sorry. Jale jalam viyadvyomni.
Jale jalam viyadvyomni.
Jale jalam viyadvyomni.
Jale jalam viyadvyomni.
Tejas tejasi vayatha.
Tejas tejasi vayatha.
Upadhi vilayad Vishnu.
Upadhi vilayad Vishnu.
Nirvisesham vishen munihi.
Nirvisesham vishen munihi.
Jale jalam viyad vyomni.
Jale jalam viyad vyomni.
Tejas tejasi vayatha.
Tejas tejasi vayatha.
Upadhi vilayat. Upadhihi means this physical body, the mind, the physiological functions, the five sense powers obtaining in the five physical parts and five powers of organs of actions. All of them, antahkaranam, I said mind. So all of them are said to be upadis. You know that very well. All these different layers of personality, like physical personality, you know, then different personality, we know five layers of personality. Each layer of personality is what? Unupadhi. You can say otherwise, or you can say three sharirani. Sthula, sukshma, karana, sharirani. Or you can say body, mind, sense complex. There are upadhis. So when the death happened, what is death? As I told you already, departure of the sukshma from the sthulam. Thereby, the disintegration of physical body is what calls death. Then sukshma, so the sthulam shariram becomes, the gross body becomes disintegrated, becomes one with the elements. But the sukshma also resolves for a wise person. This is the fact which we have to understand very clearly. It's called upadhi vilayaha. Layaha means remaining resolved for some times. Again coming back is called layaha, again coming back. But vilayaha means being resolved for good. You know, vilayaha. Viseshalayaha. Why? Suppose every day you fall asleep, all your sense powers, all your powers of organs of actions, all your thoughts, everything remains resolved. Physiological functions alone are happening. All your subtle aspects are resolved. Layaha. But what happens? That resolved for good. Again, the next day, prarabdha, what you have to exhaust, what you have to go through, what you have to enjoy, what you have to experience, this already preordained, that wakes you up and you wake up. Which means they all come back. You know? Even a drop of water you have to drink means you have to be there, up. You wake up. That is layaha. That happens every day. But for a wise person, there is a vilayaha. Vilayaha means what? His antahkaranam, mind is resolved for good. How can mind be resolved for good? It is not a choice. You cannot try to, let me push this mind somewhere inside, let me resolve this. There is no way of having your mind resolved for good unless and until you have the vision of the truth. So having the ahankara resolved is having the entire mind resolved. As when you are alive in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, in the ascertained vision of the truth of one's own swarupam, the eye-sense, when you get the eye-sense resolved, that is ahankara, having the ahankara resolved cognitively. Then for such a person who has got his ahankara resolved intellectually, cognitively, because of his vision of the reality, for such a person, after the death, what happens? Because ahankara is already resolved, all other thoughts also will resolve for good. Ahankara is already resolved cognitively. So after the death, one must have got one's ahankara resolved. I'm not saying ahankara should be given up. I'm not saying ahankara you had to resolve, I'm not saying. In the wake of the knowledge, in the ascertained vision of the reality, ahankara resolves by itself while living. Then for such a person, after the death, ahankara is already resolved. Therefore, the entire mind, all the thoughts will resolve for good. That's the only way you can have your mind, get your mind resolved. This getting this mind resolved for good is said to be the actual death by Ramana Maharshi. There's no real death for you. You'll be coming again and again and again and again, assuming a new body. There's no real death, you know. So that is what? Videha Muktihi. So Vilayat, Upadhi Vilayat, Jnanat, no? Because of the ascertained vision of the reality as one's own Swarupam. Now, for a wise person, the substance of the substantive I is pure consciousness, the all-pervasive, innermost reality, the consciousness. For him, not only for the I, then for everything else, the truth of everything else is what? The consciousness only. Therefore, for him, the consciousness is the only truth. Everything else other than consciousness is not unreal, but it's all mithya. Such a person, what happens after the death, the mind is resolved. Mind becomes resolved for good. The mind is not there anymore. Therefore, once the mind is resolved, naturally other subtle aspects also will resolve, because sense powers and powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, these 15 can survive. These 15 can be there. No, for them to be functional, to be there, only mind must be there. The mind alone is resolved. The mind is resolved, all the 15 also become resolved for good. This is called a vilayaha. Sukshma is resolved for good. The Sukshma Shariram, which is the Upadhihi, which is resolved for good. Therefore, Sthula becomes disintegrated. Therefore, Suk Vilayat, Upadhi Vilayat, what happens now? What happens to the manifest consciousness? The upadhis are manifesting media. What happens to the manifest consciousness? The manifesting media, you know, the body gets disintegrated, the sukshma becomes resolved, there is no more manifesting medium. The mirror is taken away. What happens to the reflection in the mirror? Suppose your face is reflected in the mirror. There is in front of it, there is a mirror. The mirror is taken away. What happens to the reflection? Is it killed? Is it destroyed? It just becomes one with the face. Is it clear? Similarly, when the manifesting medium is resolved, the manifest consciousness, what happens to manifest consciousness? Manifest consciousness remains as original consciousness. Really speaking, there is no manifest consciousness, just the consciousness. Understand? That is called what? The manifest consciousness remaining as consciousness. Pure consciousness is called what now? Vishnu. It's like what now? Becoming as though one. Sharira Vilayad Vishnu. Nirvisesham Vishen Munihi. Munihi here means the wise person who always entertained contemplative disposition of the mind, who reveled in the, who had the luxury of reveling in knowledge of the truth, and who was reveling in fullness, such a person, the wise person, Munihi, Nirvisesham, without, now because the upadis have gone, nirvisesham, without any upadis. Without any upadis. And upadis are not the reflecting medium, are not there anymore. Then what happens to the reflection? It joins the original one. Similarly, here also what happens? Nirvisesham, Vishen Vishnu, becomes one with, does not have becoming one also, remains as one all-pervasive Atma, Brahma, the limitless reality, the consciousness. Vishnu Vishet enters. Don't think again another problem. Don't think enters. Does the reflection enter into the original face when the mirror is taken away? Is there a physical entry? Does the reflection in the mirror is taken away, walks out and comes and enters into this face? There is no physical walking, physical movement. Understand? The manifesting medium is not there. Manifest consciousness remains as one all-pervasive, no? Pure consciousness. This is what is said here as nirvisesham, without the upadis, without any limiting adjuncts, without any limitations, without any attributes, it becomes one with, it remains as what? I don't want to use the word become also. It remains, no? As one all-pervasive consciousness. Vishnu Vishet. It becomes one with consciousness. It's a little translation. I prefer saying it remains as one consciousness. In fact, there is no merging. There is no union. There's no merging or union possible. Because already you are consciousness. So you need not become consciousness, you need not join consciousness. You need not become one with consciousness. Already consciousness. Wave is already water. So wave you need not merge into water. Isn't it? Wave is already water. Similarly, you are already consciousness. The truth. So the I, you means what? I is already consciousness. Distinguished from the body mind complex. You resolve the I in consciousness, then you can see everything else has to be resolved in consciousness only. Therefore, sharira vilayatu nirvisesham, the munihi nirvisesham Vishnu Vishet. Which means he enters into all-pervasive reality, Vishnu. What does it mean? Remains as pure consciousness. Only reality, all-pervasive reality. He gives example, like what? The wise person after the death remains as pure consciousness. Means what? Again, he does not assume other upadis. Again, he does not, you know, come back. Again, he is not born. Like what? He gives three examples here. Look at this. Jale jalam. When the water joins the water, can you say they become one? They are already one. When the water joins the water, The rivers flow towards the ocean with the name river. Water appearing in the form of river, having the name river, goes and joins into the ocean. What happens? It loses its identity. River identity goes. the name goes, the form goes, the water becomes one with the water. There is no, just jale jalam. Then viyad vyomni. Viyad also means space, vyoman also means space. There are so many containers which envelop the space, like a pot. Things like pots really envelop space. Really speaking, they don't envelop space, they exist in space. But the space seems to be enveloped by those containers. And the pot breaks, what happens to the space obtaining in the pot? The pot space, ghatakashasya kim bhavati. When the pot breaks, ghatakasha becomes one with mahakasha, the space. There is no such difference as ghatakasha and mahakasha. There's only akasha. There's only space. We can't say there's a pot space and open space. It is only space. But from the standpoint of the pot, the space obtaining in, no, the space occupy, in fact, the we get the space gets the name as pot space. When the pot is broken, the space, pot space, like just as pot space becomes one with the space, open space. So also the wise person becomes one with all pervasive reality, the consciousness. Which means the upadis are like pots. The mind is like a pot. The sense powers are all like pot. Different upadis. Is it clear now? Therefore, he says, viyadvat, viyad vyomni jalam jale. Tejas tejasiva yatha. If you have few sparks of fire, a few sticks, you know, with the fire, put them all together, how many fires are there? The fire becomes the fire. When the fire joins the fire, it is just one, isn't it? One fire. We can't count fire one, fire two. When the fire joins the fire, it's just the fire. When the fire joins the fire, there's no joining or becoming one. Already fire, this is just the only fire. The space joins the space, already one is space. When the water joins the water, it's only water. There's no joining really. There's no merging really. There's no union really speaking. Similarly, the consciousness obtaining in a given body mansions complex remains one as all pervasive reality, the pure consciousness. What has gone is what? Sthulam is disintegrated, sukshma has resolved for good. It's typically like the water losing its identity with the form and name river, how it becomes one with the ocean. Becoming one means already it was H2O, again it's going to be H2O. What has gone is the name and form. But resolving the mind is moksha. It's called videha muktihi, which means there's no question of coming back. That is why if anybody tells, I'll come back, I'll be born in that place, this place, means you can make sure 100% there's no moksha. They're still bound. One may use one's siddhi powers to come back if a person wants to. but still there is no freedom. So the person who is not free himself cannot help you attain freedom also. Okay? Therefore, this is the wise person. Why he gives three examples here? Jalam, water, space and fire. You know why? You have gross body, you have subtle body, you know, and you have manifest consciousness. All the three what? No. All of them resolve. Ultimately where? Only in consciousness. See, even while living as a wise person, you resolve all of them cognitively. You are there because the mind is there. The mind resolves. Finished. You are already, you are yourself. You are yourself. As long as you have the mind, you are not yourself. As long as you are ignorant, you are not yourself. Isn't it? This is called not being oneself. Means what? You are yourself, but erroneously, notionally, you are not yourself. Understand? You're always yourself. As long as you're ignorant, you are yourself, but still notionally, my God. Notionally, you are not yourself. That is called what? Parasthanam. That is like staying outside of your home. And when you resolve the wrong notion, then you are yourself. That is called a swasthanam. Swasthanam means what? One's own place. And being oneself. So, notionally not being oneself due to ignorance is being in other place, being unhealthy, being sick. And resolving the wrong notions, being oneself is what? Being in one's own place, being seated in one's own place is called a swasthanam, which is being healthy. That's why in Sanskrit language, swasthanam. Taha means one who is oneself, one's own self, is perfectly, absolutely healthy person. In Sanskrit language, swasthyam means health. Swasthaha means healthy. Aswasthaha means not in one's own place, means what? Unhealthy, sick. Beautiful, isn't it? You are always yourself. But notionally, because of ignorance, when you are not yourself, notionally, then you are not in your place. Which means you are not yourself. Then you are unhealthy. When you resolve the notion, resolve by resolving the ignorance, you are you. You are in your place. Which means you are yourself. Then you are healthy. Swasthanam means one's own place. Aswasthanam is what? Not being in one's own place. Not being at home. You get it? Really speaking, in moksha, you are at home. Being at home is moksha. That's why Veedu, in Tamil also we use the word Veedu per moksha. Anyway. So we'll go to the next one. Upadhis are different. Upadhis are different, isn't it? But not the truth, not the self. The one who is endowed with the upadhis is one and the same Atma. So, in fact, there's a Kathopanishad, the 15th mantra, also gives the same thing. यथा उदकम् शुद्धे शुद्धम् आसिक्तम् तादृक् एव भवति. And there's another drishtanta example from Mundakopanishad. Yatha nadyah syandamanah samudre astam gacchanti namarupe vihaya. Yada nadyah, yatha nadyah, the river which are flowing, syandamanah, the flowing rivers, namarupe vihaya, losing the identity with the name and form river. Samudre astam gacchanti, they become one with the ocean. Namarupe vihaya tatha. In the same way, the wise person losing his identity with the all these names and forms, what happens to the person? He remains as only all pervasive reality, the consciousness. This God is what now said to be entering into Vishnu here. Vishnu means all pervasive reality. Is it clear? You go to next mantra now. Next verse. I'll give you some time to ask me questions.
Yallabhatna paro labho.
Yallabhatna paro labho.
Yallabhatna paro labho.
Yallabhatna paro labho.
Yat sukana param sukham.
Yat sukana param sukham.
Yajnanatna yajnanana param jnanam.
Yajnanatna param jnanam.
Tad brahmetyavadharayet.
Tad brahmetyavadharayet.
Now, having discussed about the Videha Muktihi in one verse, now the Adishan Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to talk about the nature of the reality, the nature of Brahman, the Atma, in many ways. He says, Tad Brahma iti avadharayet. May one ascertain this fact. May one understand this fact, remember this fact, dwell upon this fact, ascertain this fact, and just be with the fact. Avadharayet. May one always have this fact unforgettably in one's mind. Avadharayet. May one have this fact, ascertain this fact. Iti avadhayat. What should one ascertain? What is the fact one should ascertain? He says, yallabhat na aparaha labhaha. There is no greater gain than gaining the knowledge of that. You can never gain Brahma. You can never reign. What is Brahma? The limitless reality. The reality which is free from time, free from all limitations. Time-wise, spatially, object-wise. You know, the reality is free from all limitations. That limitless reality is implied by the term Brahma. That is consciousness. And the consciousness can you ever gain? You can never gain, never attain, reach consciousness. Why? Because you are already consciousness. The wave can never attain water. The fire can never attain heat. It cannot become hot. It's already heat itself. The sun can never attain the light, brilliance. It's already the brilliance. Not brilliant, it's already the brilliance is the sun. Similarly, you can never attain what now? Limitlessness. You can never attain reality because you are already reality. But what you can gain, you know? You gain the knowledge of the reality. being yourself, or yourself being the very reality, your real nature being reality, truth being reality, isn't it? That's called what gaining of Brahman means. Gaining the knowledge of one's own self being Brahman is gaining of Brahman, attainment of Brahman. So yallabhat na aparaha labaha. There is no greater gain than gaining the knowledge of Brahman. There is nothing which is to be gained after gaining the knowledge of Brahman. Once you gain the, once you attain the knowledge of Brahman, having attained this knowledge, Brahman, knowledge of Brahman, is there anything else to be attained? Is there anything else to be gained? If you ask, Shastra says, no, finished. Other than Brahma, whatever you know, whatever you attain, achieve, accomplish, still there will be something more to be accomplished, something more to be achieved, something more to be attained. Because accomplishment of anything in this world will leave you as what now? Still something to be accomplished. Will leave you an incomplete being, incomplete person. Still, you, that accomplishment only relative accomplishment. So what is it, one thing, accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished? Which means having accomplished which, you need not accomplish, achieve anything else at all. You know, there will not be anything that is to be accomplished by you. What is that thing? That is Brahma. How can I accomplish Brahma? No. Accomplishing Brahman means attaining the knowledge of Brahman is what? As your own swarupam, yourself is what? Attainment of Brahman. So, yallabhat, gaining which there is nothing to be accomplished. So, here, therefore, yallabhat na aparaha labaha. Gaining which there is nothing else to be gained. There is no other gain which is to be gained. Yat sukhat na aparam sukham. There is no greater luxury than reveling in the knowledge of Brahman. Because knowledge of Brahman means reveling in fullness, everlasting, permanent happiness. Therefore, there is no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge of Brahman. So he says, yat sukhat na aparam sukham. There is no greater sukham. There is no greater sukham than reveling in the knowledge of Brahman. Anything else in the world is what? An object of time-bound pleasure. Any object in the world can help you experience a pleasure which is a fraction of fullness and which is time-bound in nature. But the only everlasting, beginningless, endless, changeless happiness is the nothing but Brahman, the very nature of reality. Therefore, there's nothing like, there's no greater, nothing in the world, there's no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, yat sukhat na aparam sukham. Yat jnanat na aparam jnanam. There's no greater knowledge. There's no knowledge other than, you know, knowledge of Brahman. Yat jnanat aparam jnanam. Na aparam jnanam. Nothing else needs to be known after having known the reality, Brahman. Why? Because the need for knowing something else will be there. Then the desire for knowing something else is possible only if the need for knowing something else is there. The need for knowing something else will be there only if the sense of inadequacy in terms of knowledge will be there. The sense of smallness in terms of knowledge will be there only if, the sense of smallness is centered on I in terms of knowledge. The sense of smallness in terms of knowledge can be centered on I only if I is there. So I is already resolved in the wake of knowledge. Once you think, the I, what is I is, what this knower is, what am I, what I is, what this knower is. You distinguish yourself as a knower first from the known, and you negate all the body, mind, compass, everything as object of knowledge, and then you see yourself as a knower. But I, the knower, am. I know I am. But what am I? Who this knower is? What this knower is? What I am? When you search for, you will not find anything other than consciousness. The knower, I, the knower, has to be choicelessly resolved in what? Only in consciousness. It's like when you search for the wave. What this wave is all about? What choice do you have about resolving the wave in H2O? You have to resolve it. Like what is knower is, if you look for, you will resolve the knower, I, in consciousness. Therefore, that is, once you resolve the I in consciousness, cognitively, intellectually, you resolve the I in consciousness means there is no more I there, in fact. When the I sense is resolved in consciousness means you have resolved all the problems centered on I also. I, the knower, resolved in consciousness means all the problem centered on I also will be resolved. I am small. Anything added to I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am ignorant, I am mortal, I am going to die, I am unhealthy, I am sick, all the wrong notions centered on I also will be resolved. Once the wrong notion centered on I becomes resolved, then naturally the sense of inadequacy centered on I also becomes resolved. Therefore, you are free. There's already what? You are free from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. See, only when you resolve I sense cognitively in consciousness, in its very truth, then the sense of inadequacy, this is a fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I also will be naturally, effortlessly resolved. Therefore, thereby you become free from this fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy being centered on I. Thereby you become free from what? There is inadequacy being not there. There is no need for you to do anything. The needs also will be resolved. When the needs are resolved, the desires also will be resolved. The desires will be resolved means, one, the desire for knowing anything will not be there. Desire for doing anything will not be there. The desire will be resolved. Which means, that's for having gained the knowledge of reality, then there is nothing else which is to be known. Because one more thing is, by knowing the truth, everything else becomes known as it were. If you know the truth of every, know water being the truth of one wave, you don't need to go and know every wave afterwards. Come on, what this wave is, what this wave is, what this wave is. The truth of all the waves become known as it were. Similarly, if you know the truth of yourself, if you know the reality being yourself, then that's called Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. Yad Jnanat na Aparam Jnanam. Nothing else which is to be known there. Tad Brahma. May you know that that is nothing but Brahman. It is the knowledge of Brahman, gaining which nothing else needs to be gained. Gaining, no. It is the knowledge of Brahman. No, there is no greater luxury than reveling in that, than reveling in the knowledge of Brahman. This knowledge of Brahman, gaining which everything else becomes known as it were, and nothing else needs to be known there. And that is Brahman. It is the knowledge of Brahman. It is the knowledge of Brahman. You know, this is a fact, and may you understand this fact, how it is. And remember this fact again and again. Don't forget this fact. Remember this fact again and again and again. And what the fact which you understood, recollect it, remember this, dwell upon this, and ascertain this fact. Yes, Aham Brahma Asmi, and there's nothing, no, there's nothing like reveling in, nothing, there's no greater really luxury than reveling in the knowledge of what fullness is, what reality is. Okay, may one ascertain this fact. Iti avadharayet. Yallabhat na paro labho.
Yallabhat na paro labho.
Yat sukha na param sukham.
Yat sukha na param sukham.
Yat jnana na param jnanam. Tad Brahmetyavadharayet. Actually, this has to be explained further. Much, I have explained more actually. In fact, knowledge of anything in the world is only, will leave you as a, no, ignorant person. That knowledge of anything in the world will be only incomplete knowledge. There are always something more to be known. Even if how much always says, if you study botany, and even the botany also, if you do PhD, suppose you take one flower and you know about something, still there are so many questions for which you will not know the answer. Which means your knowledge of the given object is what? Incomplete knowledge. A simple example. This is a rose flower. This is my knowledge of this one particular flower. This is my knowledge. I cannot say I know all about rose. Why the petal is pink? Why it's so many number of petals? When does it fade? There's so many questions remain always unanswerable, actually. We can't answer all the questions. Even you can't, there are other people who can ask and tell also. There are so many people who cannot answer so many questions. Which means knowledge of a given thing is never a complete, total knowledge. It's always incomplete knowledge. Whereas knowledge of the reality, when you know what the reality is, finished. There's no nothing, it is a total knowledge. The knowledge of reality leaves you a knowledge of, you know, the person of total knowledge. Whereas knowledge of anything other than the reality will leave you as a person of incomplete knowledge. That's the one thing I want to tell you here. But anyway, this verse, all these following verses are all of nature of reality only. So it will all reascertain, reconfirm your understanding. It will help you to resolve your doubts. So we'll see its nature slowly in the next class. Yeah, it's all the beautiful verses. Anyway, you can ask any questions if you have.
You mentioned something about once someone has reached moksha, that they can make the choice then to come back. Like that. I think you mentioned something.
Never. No? I said moksha is not reached, means only in terms of knowledge. Reaching, even I never used the word reaching also. I might have used the word attainment. Attainment of moksha is only in terms of knowledge. There's no, because there's no distance between you and moksha. Because moksha is nothing but another term for fullness, limitlessness or happiness. And which is already the nature of the reality, which is your own swarupam, which is the truth of I. Therefore, you need not attain moksha physically. Attainment of moksha is only in terms of knowledge. Okay, that I might have told. Then afterwards, and having attained moksha, again coming back is not possible. I wouldn't have said that at all. Because once you attain moksha means, see, when once you're alive, one has to attain this knowledge of moksha. Attainment of moksha means attainment of the knowledge of moksha. What freedom is all about. Okay, once attain the knowledge of moksha means, when discover it as your own swarupam, then you are free while living. But even you are free while living, with objectivity, with unaffectedly, you live the rest of the ordained span of life. You are reveling in fullness, irrespective of whatever the physical or situation, external conditions are. Whatever is the external conditions or physical conditions, still you are a person of fullness. Which means a wise person is not dependent on external situations for his being happy or being full. That is parabdha. Okay, when the parabdha is exhausted, then this person has no choice because the mind will resolve for good. When mind is resolved means the entire sukshma will resolve. There is no way of coming back again for him. This mate always I said very clearly, and even in sleep, wake up and ask me some doubts, I wouldn't have blabbered because I'm so clear. Even in sleep, I wouldn't have said that.
I thought you said something about some siddhi.
Siddha Purusha. I might have told. Yeah, sometimes the people who are given to lots of practice of meditation on that, if they have some siddhi powers, occult powers, and there's still, the people who are endowed with powers need not be wise people. The wise people may not have powers also, may or may not have powers. It is the wisdom which is freedom. It is knowledge which is freedom. Other than knowledge, those powers one can use, you know, and all those things. But still, the wise person cannot come back. That's what I said. Yes. This is always, I emphasize on this many times. Because many people who come to my class, they have their own lots of things. They are associated with different organizations and people, so they have lots of faith. And so I had to break those things. Because I'm not interested in breaking what they have. I want to understand what I'm teaching here. So for that purpose, I always make it a point to clarify that. Sometimes they might have felt hurt also, but I didn't mind because I had to tell the fact. I don't intentionally hurt people, but I had to tell the fact, you know. For the sake of satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, nabruyat, asatyam, no? Asatyam. You should tell asatyam. For the sake of pleasing also.
Can I just ask one thing? Is it possible that the wise person who dies, the prarabdha is not exhausted and takes rebirth? Just to exhaust the prarabdha?
No. Prarabdha, exhaustion, completion of prarabdha is the death. Prarabdha will not be there after the death. Prarabdha is a name given to the fruits of actions they are experienced, enjoyed, exhausted in the present span of life. That ends, that's how the death itself is brought about by the prarabdha. The life itself, you know, the present span of life comes to an end because of the end of prarabdha. Therefore, after the end of life, there is no prarabdha. Ending of the life itself is what? Ending of prarabdha is the end of prarabdha, life. End of life means what? In the span of life. Given span of life comes to an end. There will be, as you, I know, I can understand what you are asking. will there be agami karma, you asking? That's why I said, I always make very clear in every class, in many other class also, the wise person, when he becomes free, the jivan muktaha, how does he become free? Freedom means what? Only notionally he becomes free. Physically he remains the same person, isn't it? He is free from all the wrong notions he entertained about the self. Which means he's no, for him, he, the I, for the meaning of the word I is not the body, not the mind, not the senses, not the pranas, not anything. For him, the meaning of the word I, content of I, is consciousness, atma only. Therefore, for him, what is consciousness? Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Consciousness is not the doer, not the enjoyer, not the thinker, not the seer, not the hearer. Therefore, consciousness doesn't attract any punyam or papam. Consciousness doesn't have any pain or pleasure, pairs of opposites, honor, dishonor, etc. Consciousness has jealousy, hate, anger, etc. Everything is free. Therefore, when you say, I is consciousness, I am consciousness, means Aham Atma, means Atma is free from all of them. Therefore, in understanding the wake of the knowledge, one becomes free from all the doer sense of being the doer, sense of being the enjoyer, the doership, enjoyership, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that no, those notions all become resolved. Once all those notions go, then I have punyam and papam, he becomes free from the notion that I have punya papam also. I am papi, I am sukhi, I am dukhi. He is free from all those notions about the self, wrong notions. Therefore, he is free from doership, doership. He is free from enjoyership also. He is free from punya papas also. He is free from karmas also. Therefore, while living, he is free from all sanchittam is no more there. I have sanchittam is not there. If I am the body, mind, complex, that wrong notion is there, sanchittam is there. I am atma means there is no sanchittam. Finished. That is why in jnanam, you just free. Is it the very bondage is notional, isn't it? I am the body, mind, complex, that notion is what? Because of ignorance, you have panchitam. And therefore, we are exhausting the parabdha. While exhausting the parabdha, also, how are you exhausting? The wife doesn't think that I am experiencing the parabdha. What I am here, isn't it, as a witnessing the body, mind, is complex going through the parabdha. Therefore, he has objectivity, he is affected by parabdha. That is why, because of parabdha, the physical body may be sick and they may have lots of problems. You know, he may be poor, he may be rich, he may not be, people may be talking ill of him also. Nothing affects, no way. Because I sense insult in full, the mind always ever sinfulness. The one who is independent of the world or external things or a people for his happiness, is the person is completely free. Nothing can make him unhappy. The person who revels in fullness, nothing can make him unhappy. Therefore, the man who revels in fullness, man of vision, is free from even the parabdha karma is exhausted, but he's not affected by it. When a parabdha gets over, it's a law ordained parabdha. It just gets exhausted, it's over. The lifespan comes to an end. And afterwards, there's no continuation of parabdha. The end of parabdha is the end of span of life. Okay? There's no agami also, because he's not going to be born again, therefore no agami also. Agami karma will be there only if you have to be born again. If you're going to be born again means you have a new set of parabdha, then you'll accumulate, while exhausting the parabdha, you'll be doing karma again. Again, you'll be accumulating agami. So this person, being free from the notion that I am the doer and the enjoyer, he is free from agami and hanchitam. He is just, he's witnessing, with objectivity, he exhausts his parabdha also. Finished. He's free while living. Have you cleared doubt or not? Have I?
I mean, what I was thinking was, you know, the karma phalam, the length of time, sometimes is longer.
That's why I said, however length it is, doesn't matter. Yeah. Just notion goes free. That is why we say knowledge is very easy. Easy knowledge, difficult to attain jnanam, but in the jnanam, resolving karma is very, very easy. Even with ignorance, no, I have to exhaust all the karma one day. I'll finish all my punyams and papams. I'll become free from all the karmas. Then I'll become free means it will be impossible. Such freedom is not at all possible. Okay? There's no way of finishing all one's karmas. Please understand, you can never finish all your karmas. Always there'll be karma. Sanjitam will be there. Because beginningless. Karma is beginningless. There will always be karma. That's why freedom is not after fulfilling or exhausting all your karmas. Freedom is only in by resolving the notions that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it? Just freeing yourself from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. This is kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Please understand. Kartrutvam means, you know, having the doership, having the notion I am the doer. Bhoktrutva means having the notion that I am the enjoyer. Freeing oneself from the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is freeing oneself from all the karmas. That is what is freedom from karma, bondage of karma. There is no other freedom. And you can free yourself from those notions only when you resolve the very I. You can resolve the very I in its own reality, truth. How? Not physically, cognitively. Only when you discover the truth of I being Atma, all pervasive reality, the consciousness. It's okay. It's just the notion. The bondage is only in notion. The karmas, you can free yourself from karma only by resolving the wrong notions. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Not by exhausting the karma. As long as you have ignorance, you have to be exhausting karma. As a relative individual, not as the absolute Atma. As an absolute Atma, you are always free. As a relative individual, you have karma. But once you understand the relative life as a relative life, then you are free from the relative problems. Is it? But the problem is you mistake the relative life as the absolute life. That is the problem.
Tell me, is the I an upadhi?
Yeah.
And is it only the
I also upadhi means, no, for everything else become upadhi for the I.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. But is the I itself an upadhi?
I itself is not an upadhi, but everything else becomes upadhi.
Yeah.
I just the manifest knowledge, isn't it?
Yes.
For the I to be, only I must be there, only the other upadhis are possible.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And only the I can be resolved.
Yeah. No, I can resolve cognitively.
Yes.
Then in the light of the knowledge of the truth of I being consciousness, you can resolve everything else also cognitively. See, once you resolve the knower, then the knowledge and the known also can be resolved. There's no way of resolving the known and the knowledge without having resolved the knower. There's no way of resolving the knower without having distinguished the knower from the knowledge and the known. You have to get that order. The thing, because otherwise we pick three, no? The differences, knower, knowledge, known. Triputi Bheda, isn't it? Knowledge, known, the knower. The difference is there. These differences are all what? They're all mithya. But differences are there for us.
This is what Shankar says. The one fundamental mistake is that you take the I to be something else. And once that happens, then all the other mistakes, then you start to see the mistake in the road.
Then aham idam, difference.
Yeah, yeah.
When I am, then idam, this. I, this. Difference. Isn't it? Therefore, it's very important for, that's why I said, distinguishing the knower is very, very important. Distinguishing the knower means distinguishing I, the knower, from the known is very important. Then you can discover who the knower is. Once you discover who the knower is, resolve the knower, then you can resolve the knowledge and the known also in the same reality. Then you can say, there's only one, satyam, or everything else is mithya. Only reality appears as the knower, appears as the knowledge, appears as the known. We will see you in our Mandukya class on Saturday. See, in the Gaudapada Acharya takes slowly, beautifully, he'll go slowly and breaks all possible doubts he'll raise. And he'll knock off all the notions of the schools of thought also. Actually, mantras say very little, you know that. He just blows it up and then he makes you see any small problems also, you know. Like when you puncture, put the puncture for the tube, what do? You put the, you don't know where the hole is, isn't it? You make the thing in the water, put the water. Then you find out where the hole is. Then you puncture, you clear, correct it. Like that he will make it, everything blow it up. So make it big and make you see, oh, is there anything else? Nothing. Like that you're going to see. Any other question? That's why the I'm glad you all came for Tattva Atmabodha. The basic things, you know, what is bondage of karma? All these things we can discuss again. Should become very clear. Only when we repeated listening are the same things will make your mind subtle. One may feel bored with the repetition of things. But really speaking, what is it which will make my mind, grass mind, subtle? Repeated listening. You can see mind becomes subtle. How do you know the mind has become subtle? Which means you started to understand something differently. The same teaching, you started seeing something differently. That is called mind becoming subtle.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.